Welcome to The Voiceover with your host, Dee Foster III, where we discuss relevant topics that affect the culture with bold, independent commentary. Get ready to be inspired, enlightened, and encouraged.
One, welcome to The Voiceover Net podcast. Thank you, thank you, thank you for coming back. I've been waiting for you. We've got an interesting subject to continue. I'm Dee Foster III, CEO of Wake Up Global Networks. Please follow us, like us on our social media platforms. On our Instagram is Wake Up Global Media. On Twitter or X, it's WGNINC. And on Facebook is Wake Up Global Networks. And we on TikTok, The Voiceover Pod, and The Voiceover Podcast on all other platforms. I want to say welcome. Thank you. Come on in. Thank you for your likes. Do it right now. Like, share, follow. That's right. Like, share, follow. Support this channel, WPBMediaNetworks.com. Salute to April J., President and CEO, for allowing us to host our platform on WPB Media. So make sure you support the channel, you like it, you share it, and you follow. There's plenty of love to go around. Spring has sprung and it's been summer, 90 degrees. I love it. The rain has finally stopped and we are in the month of May. Welcome to the month of May. Listen, before we get into our content, I want you to share, I want you to like. I want you to let somebody know if you're just coming home, we are going to make your ride home as usual very interesting, very educational, very uplifting, and very inspiring. We don't tell you what to think. We just put the content out there to cause you to think. Just want to say in the beginning, have you caught our Sunday morning Voice of Hope? A connection right here on this channel every Sunday morning, 7 a.m. There is a word, you know, weeks can be crazy, weeks can be unpredictable, but we try to give you a word every Sunday morning that you will take through the word. This past week, press through. How many of you needed that? I needed that. I was pressing. So join us every Sunday morning. And then immediately following, you can join us for our Voice of Healing community prayer call. We all need healing. And no matter what your belief, who you, no matter what your race, your color, your background, you are welcome to our Voice of Healing prayer call. Matter of fact, you're welcome to everything we do. That's right. God is universal. Don't let me get back into that. So I just wanted to share that information again, like it, share it, follow it. Want to say greetings to those of you who are watching the replay. Also want to say, you know, we take time to do this content. It's a time-consuming thing. I tell people when you want to do a podcast, it's more than just turning the camera on and talking. It's a lot of that, or repeating what you heard somebody else say. But to go and investigate and do the homework and come up with viable solutions, it takes time. I said all that to say, if you feel generous, if you feel a generous spirit, we would love for you to donate to the work that we're doing at Wake Up Global Networks by our Zelle or PayPal. And the address is www.paypal.com/wakeup, WAKEUPP03@gmail.com. WAKEUPP03@gmail.com. We would love to receive your contributions. We agree with you for your time. And we are tax deductible. Wake Up Global Networks Incorporated. So you can claim that on your taxes. All right, let's move on. This is part two of the current and state of education in America, the current and future of education in America. Wow, where do I start? Let me start where I left off because I have so much to share. Now, let me say this. With my solutions, as I always say, that I want to also not only recognize the challenge, but I want to bring solutions. That's part of what I do here on the Wake Up Now podcast. Educate, of course, entertain. Don't like anything boring. But the current and future state of education in America, last week we led off by describing the horrible decline of the educational system in America and some of the reasons why, right? This week, I want to, as I did in all of my series, The Current and Future State of the Church, which I'm not finished with yet, I want to segue into commentary as to how I believe we got there, and then bring, as always, some viable solutions. Now, you would think, me being a prophet, me being here straight out of the kingdomite, the kingdom of God, you would think I would start with putting prayer back in school. I mean, that's where most people, when they talk about the decline of education, that's where they start. We got to put prayer back in school. So you would have figured, right? You know, knowing me, but I'm not always predictable, but you would have figured my prophetic mantle and my calling to the kingdom and to be a voice or oracle of God, one of the first things I would have said is, we got to get prayer back in school, right? No. We got to get prayer back in the home. Huh? What did he say? I said, we got to get God back in the home. See, one of the problems with this country, in my humble opinion, did I tell you to like this, share this, follow, is that we're always putting our responsibility off on other people. We're putting it off on the school. We're putting it off on the government. We're putting it off on the church. We're putting it off on the system. We're putting it off on this and that, when the responsibility starts in the home. Yes, I said it. So no, I'm not going to deal with prayer in school in this series, in case you were wondering. This is just my humble opinion, because if you pray and put God in the home, the kids will come, the students will come to school with a God consciousness, God awareness, God mentality, and we can do the teaching in the school. School wasn't made for prayer. What'd you say? I said the school was not made for prayer. The church was not made for prayer. The home was made. Train up a child in the way that they shall go. And when they are older, they won't depart. Now, having said that, let me segue into my commentary for today. And I know the evangelicals are rough their feathers, because everything is about putting prayer back in school. How about putting God back in the home? All right? That's where we start. That should be the major influence. The home. Not the school, not the church, not the rec center, not the community centers. What we need is more rec centers. No, what we need is parental guidance in the home. I mean, yeah, open up a few rec centers. But that doesn't take the place of the home. We're always trying to shift, in my humble opinion, the responsibility of the home, parental guidance. It's not the government, it's not the mayor, it's not the president's job to raise our children. It is the responsibility of the home. Now, having said that, let me segue into our discussion or commentary is how I believe we got to the declining educational system, and then offer some viable solutions. And like I always say every week, my solutions are not the final be-all, end-all. I'm sure you have your idea of what it should be. Everybody has. But this is what came to me as a commentator on the Wake Up Now platform. So every year, and I'll repeat this, every year, let me give you some statistics. According to ElevateTheUSA.org, every year over 1.2 million students drop out of high school in the United States alone. 1.2 million students. You trying to tell me that it's not a broken system? That's one student, if you do the math, every 26 seconds, or 7,000 a day, right? Now, as I said, perhaps I'm naive, but I am not convinced that 1.2 million students are anti-learning or against learning and growing, but rather in an age of enlightenment, meant. In an age where people are discovering who they are in, I'm gonna put it like this in the name of my organization, in the age where people are waking up, they are not settling for education. And I told, I wholeheartedly agree. And as we discussed last week, in a systematic way that does not empower, but rather, and I'm just going over a few things before I get into some solutions, conditions the student, because that's really what, if you look at the curriculum and the form of education in the average public school, it really conditions the student, even in some colleges. That's why I was glad to hear a report last week where a lot of students are second guess spending their time in college and going to trade schools, auto mechanic, plumbing. That's what I was talking about last week. And that's happening on the collegiate level, and that needs to happen on the high school level. Yes, still get the basics, math, reading, arithmetic, et cetera, but train me to use the gifts that God put in me and not to fit your mold or your agenda. Because really, that's what's, and as I get into what I'm going to talk about today, you're going to see it amplified. And so I don't believe people don't want to learn. I believe people are open to learn. I just believe people are not willing to be conditioned to fit into a caste system without considering the gifts and the talents. Now, I said it last week. I say it in every series. I stake my claim. Whenever you open your hand to take government money, you risk being institutionalized. What is that? A created and controlled organization, which brings answers to a higher establishment. A created and a controlled organization. Nobody gives you nothing for nothing. And this institutionalization is in my opinion, every form of society, whether it is athletics, whether it is education, whether it is religion, whether it is media, it is, oh, and I'm gonna talk about media. Do you see mainstream media is falling apart? I told you, and this is just the beginning, but let me stick, I gotta do another series on the media, the fallen star of the year 2024. I mean, commentators on these mainstream cable systems are leaving like ka-pa-pa. I prophesied it on our series, The Current and Future State of the Media. People are finding their voice. People are finding their voice. And that's the problem with this institutionalized education. It doesn't allow the student to find their gift or basically to find their voice. So when you take the money, you no longer become focused in, as I'm going to show you, on the student, but you become now obligated to cater to the demands. Come here, teachers. Come here, educators. Don't hate. Come on, participate. You know what I'm saying. The demands of the establishment. Now, this is when I take us down the rabbit trail of when all of this really began to peak, not when they took prayer out of schools. Because prayer, God should have been in the home, and you bring God and prayer to the school. It was 2000. See it going back, 2000. Did you share this yet? Did you share this? It was 2000. And when my then presiding bishop contacted me and the other few bishops regarding taking a trip with him to Washington, D.C. to meet the then President George W. Bush. It was regarding, and you may have heard it, an initiative that Bishop Ray was spearheading regarding among faith-based organizations called the Faith-Based Initiative. And simply in essence, this initiative that Bishop Ray and some of us went to meet with the president was simply about leveling the playing field for faith-based organizations to receive federal funds or funding. Yeah, but again, whenever you sit at the king's table and eat the king's meat, you must dance to the king's music. But anyway, while we were in the process of going back and forward, meeting with various congressional persons, and I have pictures of all of that, I'm not just making this up, meeting with various congressional, as a matter of fact, I have a picture that was lost with the president, Bishop Ray and Bishop Long at the time, as we were over there with this initiative. But we were hearing in the wind, along with this faith-based initiative, the chatter about something out of the same Bush administration called NCLB. No Child Left Behind. And boom, to me, that's where it all began to go south. Man, it sounds good, right? No Child Left Behind. No Child Left Behind. What is No Child Left Behind? 2001, No Child Left Behind. The U.S. federal law was aimed at improving public primary and secondary schools and increasing student performance. So I create a law, I create a bill, because that's what we do in this country, right? We create a bill, again, establishment, that again, protocol. Forget the student. All right, I'm gonna get down this rabbit hole. And if I gotta go to a part three, I'll go to a part three, because we gotta fix this. And I'm not saying I'm the main fixer, but I'm part, right? And so this law was enacted in 2000, you can look it up, 2001, aimed at improving public schools and secondary schools and student performance. Watch this, this is where I have a problem. Increased accountability for schools. Accountable to who? Of course, accountable to the money. This is where I have a problem. And school districts in states. Now, that sounds good. That sounds good. Yeah, schools need improvement. School. But in my opinion, don't get excited. I don't believe this is the root fixer. I feel it is the fruit fixer. The act was passed by Congress with bipartisan support in December 2001 and signed into law by then President George W. Bush in January 2002. No Child Left Behind. It sounds good. No Child Left Behind. Oh yeah, No Child. No Child. No Child Left Behind. The fruit of this bill, let's deal with the fruit of this bill, introduce significant changes in curriculum of public and primary and secondary schools in the United States and dramatically increase federal regulation. Sounds like to me, three strikes and you out. To cure a problem, we create another problem. We don't really deal with the problem, right? We hide the problem. So increasing regulation, nothing about the student, right? Because after all, the educational system is supposed to be about the student. And watch this, it gets better. I'm being sarcastic. Increased regulation of state school systems, in my opinion, rotten fruit, because now it's federally controlled. It's controlled by people who have no clue what we're dealing with in the classroom. It's kind of like business, big business. People sit in the ivory towers and make laws of how a company should operate, and they're not the boots on the ground. That's the problem in American companies. That's why people are leaving. You have no clue of the day-to-day operation, but you can sit in the ivy towers and make rules and regulations for us to follow. It's not happening anymore. That day is over. People are not willing to be automatons. So watch this. This gets better. State laws require, under the law, states were required to administer yearly tests of reading and mathematical skills of public school students. So it sounds to me that you're trying to fix a broken system by regulation and not actualization, not assigning less students to the teachers. Got rid of special ed, people that need what I mean, attention in certain areas. So you put everybody together because now you're going to fix a problem with a broken system through regulations and laws. And that's what this country does. And that's the problem. And we do it in every sector. Oh, that's broken. Create a law. We got a drug problem. Three strikes you out. Let's lock them up, put them in jail and destroy generation. I'm just saying. Yeah. Straight no chaser. All right. Let's read. Let's continue to read. And it'll probably be a part three. And I'm offering solutions as I go along because every show I want to offer some solutions. So here you have testing, not teachers, right? So you don't hire more teachers because teachers are dealing with even now 15, 20 students in one class. How do you focus in on the needs of the student with that many in a class? So you create regulations of testing instead of saying, we're going to take this budgetary money and hire more teachers, hire more specialized teachers. Okay, it's like this. When your car needs servicing, you'd say, I need a tune-up. Oil change the windshield wiper fluid, check the brakes, et cetera, et cetera. But when you say, you know what? My transmission is out. Then you take it to a specialist or a dealer who can specialize in replacing transmissions. You don't take it to the general practitioner. And that's what we've done in the educational system, in my opinion, put our children under general practitioners with stricter rules, stricter regulations, instead of saying, we're going to hire specialists. But that's too much like, right. So let's make them give more tests. But wait a minute, they're not prepared for the test because we don't have the time to really train them, right? Okay, let's keep on reading this wonderful No Child Left Behind. Did I tell you to like this? Did I tell you to share it? Did I tell you to follow this? You're gonna only last here if you love to hear the truth. Straight, no chaser. All right, so what's happening? States were required to administer yearly tests of the reading and mathematical skills. I agree. We need to increase reading and mathematical skills of public school students and demonstrate adequate progress, again, regulation, adequate progress to raising the scores of all students to all students, special ed students that need special attention, didn't matter. If you want this money, you better improve the tests. That's what we got social promotion for. That's the prison to school pipeline, school to prison pipeline, the social promotion piece. Because I'm not ready to survive in the world. I can't qualify for a job because you socially promoted me to keep getting government money, to keep the uncle feeding you. Feed the pig. And we see it in each, and what is more abominable to me and ungodly is when you see parents, and if you been watching, I love a certain news station in the DMV, Fox 45, because they just go all in and expose everything. They did a story about a year ago about a parent who was begging that their son needed special help and he did not deserve to pass, but they passed, many of you saw that story from the DM, but they passed him anyway because of regulation, because under No Child, now I know No Child Left Behind doesn't exist in its rawest form, and I'm getting there. But I'm talking about the atmosphere that was created in 2001. And still, all of it has not been eradicated. And I'm reading through that. So they had to do yearly tests of reading skills of public school students to demonstrate adequate progress toward raising all the scores of the students to a level defined as proficient or higher by 214. Teachers were also required to meet higher standards for certification. Now, I agree with that one. That's all I'm gonna say on that. I agree, that's one right there. Schools that fail to meet their goal would be subject to gradually increasing sanctions. Everything is sanctioned. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see when I went and said, when you take the money, you are now institutionalized and your obligation is to a higher establishment and not the student? It's here. Not mentioning the student, it's mentioning testing, certification, standards, all of that. And not taking in consideration everybody is designed different. That's why I said there's some people won't go to college and they won't be a failure in life. They have a trade, they have a skill, they've been gifted with knowledge. And all they need is somebody to train them, bring the Carver high schools back. Anyway, it says, they had till 2000, teachers were also required to meet. Schools that failed to meet their goal would be subject to gradually increasing sanctions, eventually, and including replacement of staff or closure. After a lot of debate over the legislation, here it is, in 2005, the savior, the Messiah, the African-American Messiah comes, Obama signed into law. Now watch. In my opinion, this is where the burial of an already dying system is doomed. Because here we see the shifting from an institution of learning to an enterprise looking for a return on its investment. Yeah, I said it. An enterprise, not an institution of learning, looking for a return on its investment. How? Social promotion, I mentioned that. Testing above teaching. Notice the No Child Left Behind Act emphasized testing above teaching. And then state and government control, not oversight. That's the difference, control. So Obama comes in 15 because of this No Child Left Behind being so controversial. Comes in 2015 with every student succeeds, always make a law, always make a law, always legislate, never fix the problem, legislate. And like I tell people, even with, in my opinion, this abortion right, you can't legislate. You can't, that's not legislation. That's conviction, that's personal conviction. You can't legislate everything. You can't legislate morality. You can't lock immorality up. You can lock criminals up. But I'm just giving you an example. Those who break the law, not those who don't conform to societal norms. So Obama comes along with every student succeed at, which rescinded several, not all, that's why I said I'm getting there, of the most unpopular versions of No Child Left Behind. Under the new law, for example, states were still required to administer standardized federal tests, but they just gave them a little more latitude in determining how the tests would be given. States were also permitted to include other measures of students and school performances in their accountability systems. Accountability systems, not students, systems. What's interesting in this, you hear very little language referencing the student, but more of systems, regulations, accountability. Yeah, institutionalized. In an establishment and not an institution of learning, growth, and development. And you say, well, send them to private school. Well, they become like that. Because again, whenever you take the money, whenever you take the money, you dance to the king's music. So most of them are no better, in my opinion, the ones that I've been exposed to, right? Because they follow the same track. And then most states don't want private schools, independent private schools, because that robs them of federal funding. I'm talking about the public school system. So if I close down the independent, and there are some good independent schools who are not connected to federal funding, but the problem is we don't enforce and endorse those schools because they're taking away from our funding. Follow the money. It's not about education. From a high standpoint, it is for the teachers and those in the school, but those who sit in the ivory towers and create laws like this, it's about funding. So he comes along and eliminates No Child Left Behind requirement, that teachers in core subjects be highly qualified, eliminated No Child Left Behind, of all things, that teachers in core subjects be highly qualified, of all things to eliminate. It also permitted school districts to design their own remedies for improving poorly performing schools with technical assistance from the states. All I hear is school buildings, tests, certification. What about the student? And I'm gonna keep saying it. Well, you say, well, the student is in all of this. Really? Is that why 1.2 million drop out every year? Now, I'm gonna wrap this up and we're gonna have continued discussion. I'm not in a rush. At first sight, it may appear that No Child Left Behind and ESSA was exactly what was needed to bring reform. Yes, hallelujah. Yes, Bush is going to save us, but he helped us drown. We're going to bring in the real savior. And that's the answer. And our students, the system will be better. We ain't say nothing about the student. The system will stand up on his feet. And now, let me be fair, because I can be kind of, I'm not saying this wasn't, people involved wasn't well-meaning. Bush, Obama wasn't well-meaning. I'd be unfair to say that. I don't know. So, I mean, they could have figured this is exactly what was needed to fix the system. But well-meaning as it may have meant to be, if you look closely, in my opinion, they are riddled with very little that has to do with educating the student, but more with policy, regulations, testing, standardized federal guidelines. And what is not mentioned clearly in these bills, and I'm gonna keep saying it, is social promotion. And the other big downer, in my opinion, of education, no suspension. I talk to teachers all the time who say, I can't teach. It's this one student keeping trouble, send them to the principal's office. But again, because of regulation, you got to keep them in the classroom. I'm just saying, this is from the educators I talk to, and you can't suspend them. And I've heard teachers say, you can't suspend them. Every seat that is filled in this classroom represents money. Wow. And this is what it has come to. And this bill doesn't mention, among those things I just named, more red tape for classroom teachers. $1.2 million. And in my opinion, if we don't see some drastic changes to focus in, and I'm going to do a part three because I still have a lot to cover, to focus in on the student and the student's well-being and the student's We don't even hire mental health teachers anymore. With all the trauma that students are experiencing in the home and the community, we don't even hire mental health students because it's not about that. It's about getting these chairs filled so we can get the federal funding and don't fail anybody, socially promote them. What happens after they leave here? That is their business, that is their parents' business, that's the police business, that's the judge's business, that's the lawyer's business. And yet we talk about a school to prison pipeline. Prison pipeline. Now, let me say this, and maybe I will end it saying a lot about this. While these two congressional acts may have improved education in specific areas, such as putting emphasis on math and reading, and we needed that, and improved some teachers' comprehension, we needed that. This is not an expose on No Child Left Behind. For me, it is because No Child Left Behind was the starting point, in my opinion, a starting point on what we must do differently. That's why I talked about this. I'm not bashing No Child Left Behind, but it is a starting point of what we must do differently to see a broken system reform. And let me give you some solutions. And we move on to our next series next week. I believe if this system is going to have a future, number one, it must be more about the individual needs of the student and less about state control. I didn't say no state control, and less about state control. Number two, put the power back in the classrooms. More teacher who knows the student other than the parent, but in the school better than the teacher. Put the power back in the classrooms. Number three, bring back more arts and sciences to nurture, grow the creativity of our students. Because if I'm not interested, if it doesn't cater to my gifts, talents, and abilities and something I could use, I'm just simply going through the motions. Bring back the arts, bring back sciences. Consider within your structure and curriculum the home to school pipeline. What do I mean by that? I said the home to school, not prison, the home to school pipeline. Bringing issues from the home into the school that are not dealt with in the home, lead paint, students that have been affected by lead paint, parent non-participation. I said in the beginning, prayer starts in the home, but unfortunately, some of the kids are not from those kind of homes. So yes, at that point, the school has to become the parent and has become the parent. But consider that in your curriculum. Everybody's not the model student because of the home to school pipeline. Lead paint, parent non-participation, parent absenteeism, a refocus on special education. Cease to reinforce negative behavior that affects the collective. You might have to instill. When I was, and I'm not trying to go to the past, but the threat to be suspended work. But I didn't help a child out, but it doesn't help. If my child is in a class, been sent there to learn, and I'm holding my child responsible for learning, and the only reason they are not learning is because of a child who has no intent on learning or has special needs, but allowed to a little leaven, this is what the prophet has to speak, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And finally, stop social promotion, because that creates the school to prison pipeline. When you graduate students that can't write, can't read, can't get a job, can't spell, what is the next thing? I do what I need to do to survive. Want your comments? Like, share, DeFoster 3. You can contact us on thevoiceovertheglobe@gmail.com. Thevoiceovertheglobe@gmail.com. Next week, come on, set that notification. We got another very interesting, controversial, but educational, entertaining, and informative show right here on the Voice Over Now podcast. Don't forget, join me Sunday morning at 7 a.m. for our Voice of Hope connection. Until then, I'm telling you, you got a voice. Use it. Peace.
Thank you for being a part of The Voiceover. Please follow us on all of our social media platforms to stay connected to our upcoming shows and guests. Instagram at The Voiceover Radio. Twitter at DPropheticEye. That's the letter D, prophetic, E-Y-E. If this show has enriched you in any way, please share The Voiceover among your circle. Until next time, keep allowing your voice to be heard.